Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
So, you know, this is childlike faith. In Luke 10, I'm just going to prepare you before we hear the word that God has specifically for us, but just to get some background in our hearts and minds, Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. At that time, Jesus, slightly sober and very somber. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy. Okay, Jesus, full of joy. This is God himself. Full of joy. Sorry, I just wanted that message to come over. Full of joy through the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit was kind of given in this joy, supernatural joy. And he came out in this praise that everybody around him heard. So it wasn't one of those, I praise you, Lord. He wasn't a quiet, I praise you, Lord. I praise you. This is me. This is the way I do it. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven. He starts to be out there with his praise. And this, of course, is not in a synagogue. It's out there. He's starting to praise and magnify the Lord of heaven and earth. Because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Back to the children thing. God doesn't show up with those who live out of their heads. Their reasonings, their theological systems. Children just accept what the parent is saying and take it for real. They just say, well, if Jesus says we can do it, well, we can do it. And they're happy about it. You see, the more complicated we are about our faith, I would suggest to you the more unbelief and doubt is in our life. If we get complicated about faith, our faith in Jesus, Jesus had sent these guys out, 72 of them, not just the 12, which I quite like because he was broadening his sphere and he's still broadening it today to all of us, plus every believer in the world. He's saying, all of you, you know, I've given you authority. Go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. You know, do the same things you've seen me doing. Yeah. And they went, okay, brilliant. Hang on. They went, okay, let's do it. So what were they like? They were like children. I can do what Jesus says I can do. And we can see the same things as Jesus. Doesn't matter if I've never experienced it before. Because he says, we can do it. And what he says, we can do. And what he says, he is going to do. It's definitely going to happen. So there's this simplicity, this childlike faith. I believe the root of complicated theology and people harping on for hours and hours and hours has actually got its roots in unbelief. It doesn't mean we don't need doctrine. It doesn't mean we don't need teaching and training. But it is simple faith that Jesus is looking for. There's this testimony about Smith Wigglesworth when he had a dynamic healing ministry. He was a northerner. He was a plumber. He had a working life and he got saved, and his wife too. She was in the ministry. And he was just a simple man of faith. He just read the word, says, right, that's it, let's do it. So if he read about laying hands on the sick, he'd say, right, that's it, let's do it. And there was this one situation, and I'm not sure I remember all the details, but this woman was really on her deathbed. She was the mother of three kids, married, and I think she was really nearing death. And Smith Wigglesworth was invited to go into this woman's house and pray for her. And he felt he should take a local minister with him. And the local minister popped along with him. And he said to the minister, "Brother, you pray first." And he regretted ever asking him to pray. Because what came out was an endless tirade of lengthy praying. Went on and on and on. You know, have you ever been in a prayer meeting where somebody's going on that long? It goes all over the place. You've lost track. And basically, it's unbelief. Nothing's happening. So you may as well go to sleep. Take a nap. Because God is not moving. And so this guy, he's going on and on. And he's saying, "Oh, this poor woman, these poor children, this husband, how God give him grace to live without his wife." And you see, Smith had childlike faith. And so he said, I don't know whether he said quite shut up, but he meant it. Because, you know, he couldn't live with unbelief, and Jesus doesn't either. Jesus actually, you know, some of the hardest words he said were where there was unbelief, because he couldn't do miracles there. He couldn't do wonderful things for people when there was unbelief. He couldn't do wonderful things for people, because that's his will. He wants to do wonderful things, and he does it through faith. And so he took this bottle of oil, which is like a symbol of anointing, to anoint the sick and to lay hands as elders are supposed to do, to pray for the sick and heal them. And he threw it out, the whole bottle, because normally, you know, what we do is, Smith was so frustrated, he chucked the bottle over this woman who was almost dead and said, "Get up, woman." And she shot up, healed. Now, I don't know whether you'd like a complicated theology or a little bit of what Smith has. I think I'd rather do the Smith road, because he saw great miracles, rather than the endless going on and on and on. If you know, when somebody's got a prophetic word for you, if you haven't got a handle on what they've said at the end of it, it isn't God. Because God's able to communicate in very simple ways so you can lay hold of what he's saying. If the end of that word is confusion, well, I should just lay it aside. Jesus says very simple things to us for us to just say, "Yep, that's great. Let's get on and do that then. Because you said we can do it, we can." And so there needs to be this cultivation this year in my life and in your life. Jesus is here now. Simple. Lay hands on the person next to you and they'll get healed. Is that simple? Doesn't take much time. But that's where the power is. The power is found in simple faith. Just accepting what Jesus says he is going to do. Jesus went through, and you can read through the Gospels. He said to people, "Only believe and you will see the glory of God." He also said to others, "According to your faith, it will be done." So he said, I want to do amazing things, but it is actually according to your faith that it will happen in your experience. I find that quite a challenge. Because when I think it's according to my faith, that kind of puts me in a position of needing to receive constantly faith. And I know how to receive faith because the Word of God tells me how. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if I'm hearing God's word, I can receive faith and things can be done according to what I've received. It's so simple. And that's what God wants to restore in us this year, a simplicity of believing and trusting Jesus. We are in a season and a time in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're in another kingdom. We're not of this kingdom. We're not under the power of the God of this age. We're not under the same rules and principles. We're not in bondage. We're in freedom. We are different. Even though we live in this world, we are different. We're sons of the living God. Every one of us is a joint heir of God through Christ. And so we are completely marked different. And we live in this world which is shaking currently. And I actually believe that it's going to get harder. That the conditions in the world are going to get tougher. That there's going to be an increase of shaking and trouble. And you know, if you're not quite kind of in with Jesus, if you're not totally connected with the Lord, the shaking might just shake you. But Jesus said that when the storms come, those who build their house on the rock, by hearing what I say and doing it, they are the ones who will stand the storms. Their lives won't collapse. Their finances won't collapse. Their houses and families won't collapse because they are building on the word that Jesus is saying to them to act on. I love to see that contrast because it means that we can be seen to be different because we're not collapsing. And we're here to rescue people and bring them onto the rock so that they too can experience the grace and the goodness of God. Are we not? So these are serious times. It's time. When I look at our young people, I look at you with such expectation. But it's time to go full on for Jesus. It's time for us to be full on for Christ in our families and marriages, raising our children and grandchildren. We need to be completely sold out for the simplicity of what Jesus has called us to be and to do. It's important that you are following Jesus this year. It's important that you are making sacrifices and showing you are different to the rest of the world. It's important that you stand out in a party. It's important that you're showing the light of the world in your workplace. It is so important. These days are serious times. And while we can rejoice that we are saved, we must live with a compassion for those who are not. And for those who God wants to rescue and bring out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so you have really a mandate on your life to live full on for Jesus this year. And to be different in the world God has placed you. To speak different. To be holy. To be full of faith for others. Have faith in God. So, childlike faith and the word that God has given us as we've been preparing over the last month or 6 weeks is so simple. And yet God says it will happen if you believe it. Because everything God does, he's looking for faith. Everything he says, he wants us to respond with faith. And the word of the Lord for the year is that 2012 is going to be a year of opportunity. Divine opportunity. A year of divine opportunity. Let's think about that. A year of divine opportunity. A God-given opportunity. Isn't that wonderful? Already, I know that things are going to be great this year. I believe we've been set up for an opportunity. We're in place for an opportunity. Now, I'd just like to add some kind of definitions to the word opportunity. What does it mean? Opportunity means a favorable time. when somebody's got an opportune time, it's a favorable time. So in other words, it's the right time for us. Favorable means it's actually everything is going to work for this time for us. Ah, isn't that great? You're in a favorable time. I believe it. I'm in a favorable time. It's speaking of favorable. Can I have the next one, please? Conditions to attain a goal. In a favorable time and favorable conditions. When the world is saying the conditions are awful, what do we say? It's a favorable time for us. It's God's time for us. The conditions are actually going to work for us this year. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Favorable conditions to attain a goal. So there's a purpose for the year, God's purpose. It's divine opportunity. It's not something that we imagine ourselves and is totally selfish. It's the will of God for our lives. But the time is favorable and the conditions are. And God wants you to renew your mind, to stop thinking how bad it is and to start thinking how favorable everything is. To start thinking it's a good time, it's a good opportunity for me. God has set me up and has given me an opportunity. It's fantastic. Okay, can I have the next? Thank you. In a good position to advance or succeed. You're in a good position in God, in Christ, to advance or succeed. Remember the words that God spoke to Jeremiah. A young man called to be his instrument of change for the world, as we all are. And he said to Jeremiah, see, I have set you above all the kingdoms and the nations. I've put my word in your mouth to root out, tear down, build and plant. So in other words, see, I've made you a world changer. I've made every believer a world changer. Why? I've set you in Christ. Where is Christ? Seated in heavenly places. And if you're in Christ, you are in heavenly places. He has set you up for an opportunity. It's a favorable time. You're in a good position. In fact, the best position of all in Christ. To advance and to succeed. Not to batten down the hatches and survive. We're here to advance and to succeed. Thank you, Jesus. Fantastic. I believe it. I'm a bit childlike in this. I'm like, brilliant. I've got my bucket and spade for the year because I know we're going to have a great time. This is the prophecy I'm believing. I'm believing the report of the Lord. I'm not going to believe the bad reports. I'm going to hold on to my faith and say this is what God says it's going to be. The next definition is a break. Somebody gets a break. Some of you might need a break at work, or you need a break in your finances, or you need a break in a situation you're facing, a chance, an opening. God's saying it's a year of divine openings. Divine openings. Oh, Holy Spirit, let this become a reality from you in our lives. It's a year of divine openings. A room is being made. We have dug a new well. This is a new well. We're in a new place, guys. We've inherited and taken possession of this land. Now we will be fruitful in the land. God has made room for us. It's an opportunity for advance and success. We are set up for great things. See, what we're doing here is unusual. We've already demonstrated we're on the advance. We've bought a major building in the town center for Jesus. I mean, it's a sign. We've landed here because we're taking the land. We are in the land to take the land. And we have an opportunity from this place to rescue many. To do some great stuff for God. We have an opportunity in God. It's an exciting year. 2012 is going to be an amazing year. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Set up to be in this place now for these opportunities that God will give us. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, some words you may already know, but I'm still going to speak to them to you so that you believe. Rather than just say, I know that. The word only does you good when you believe it. Mix what you hear with faith. That's why the church, there's no other training like the church. Because when the word is being preached, everybody goes, amen. They say, yeah, I take it. Rather than, yeah, I assimilate. They say, I take. A room full of takers from God, so that we can go and be givers. Revelation chapter 3. We'll start. This is really Jesus speaking to, he speaks to various local churches differently. You need to know this is a tailor-made word for us. If you're visiting, I believe you came to hear this word. Because you're not here by mistake. I believe you're here by divine appointment. But this is God speaks to individual churches. He won't be saying the same thing down the road because this is what the Spirit is saying to us. And he says, these are the words of him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David, the authority and the keys of the kingdom. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I always think of that. No one can open, a bit like Noah's Ark. When the door's shut, you just can't get in. If God says close the door, it's closed. There's going to come a time where this favorable time will be over. Where there's no more opportunity for people to get saved. And they will be shut out into destruction. That's why we're in a time of favor, guys. Because we need to win as many to Christ. Yeah. So he's the God of the open door and the closed door. He shuts and opens. So in other words, God, Jesus has the authority. That doesn't matter what governments are saying, doesn't matter what people are saying, his word goes. His word alone is the authority. Verse 8, I know your deeds, see. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. See. God knows what we've done to get where we are. And I believe there's a lot of encouragement from him in that. I think it's a bit of a well done for where you've got to. It's good to take encouragement, isn't it? But then he's saying, see, I set before you an open door. Now, did they physically suddenly see a door appear and go, bang? No. He's talking about the eyes of our heart. With our faith eyes, we begin to see that we're in a day of opportunity. A day of openings, divine openings. A day even when what we're doing, and we may continue to do, for example, with Habitat or Care for Seniors, these FLY, the projects we're doing, the things we're doing in our workplace and community, God is saying, see, it's an open door. It's open. I've said it before you. It's an opportunity to go in and lay hold of every good thing that God has for us. There is a truth, and it needs to be foundational in all of our lives, that if we are believers, if we've received Jesus, heaven is open to us. There is an open door in heaven because Jesus is that door. When people say or pray the heavens are closed, to a believer, that's not true. Because if Jesus is your way, your truth, your life, if he's your Lord and Savior, heaven is open. Which means right now, over your life, there's an open heaven. And if it's open, that means everything in heaven can come into your experience. You can experience every good thing this year. You have an opportunity to get the provision of God's house, of heaven, and to live in fellowship or relationship with God because the way is open. It's wonderful. We have an opportunity for relationship with God this year. It's an open door. We've also got an opportunity to distribute the wealth of heaven through our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. So heaven is open to us. But God is also saying on earth, I open before you an open door. I set before you an open door. In other words, you will be able to, you will be presented with opportunities this year. Amen. You'll be presented with them. And you know, it's one thing to be presented. It's another thing to take them. You know, sometimes we're a bit slow on the uptake. And we kind of say, well, don't know about that. God's saying, whatever opportunity you have, take it. Make the most of every opportunity you get. I had an opportunity, you know, sometimes it's just on a level of having a day off and having fun. If it's a day off, take it. Make the most of the opportunity to enjoy that day. So it works in every sphere of our lives. On earth, for you, there will be favor with people. If you really believe what that means, it means that people will enable you to fulfill what God's cause and will is for your life. Because favor is on you. God's favor will be on your workplace. You'll be favored where you work. You'll experience unusual favor in requests that you make of people. And they'll say, yeah, okay. I'll help you. I mean, I've got an amazing opportunity. We've got an opportunity this week. A door has opened to have a meeting with the leader of the council here. And he wants to meet up. I met him about 5 years ago, but he has asked to see me because of what we're doing here. That's the leader of the local council. A door's open, so I'm going to ask. I'll see what we can come out with. When Nehemiah asked for a righteous cause, for the welfare of the city, because that's what we're here for, the welfare of others. When he asked, they said, well, what do you need? Wood? There we go. What do you need? Stuff? That you need an army? Take it. What do you need? Money? Fine. You need a letter? Great. Everything he asked, he got. I had to carry it on. But this is the whole thing. He just got things to do what God had put in his heart to do. Favor. And I want you to understand that we're in a position not to lord it over people, but to be servants. The opportunities this year are for actually God's people, which are servants. We're to be ultimately living as servants where we work, in our relationships with one another, in the church. We're to serve one another and to serve the people in the community so that a door is going to open in their hearts to believe. Jesus didn't say, you know, when James and John, I think it was, they said, Lord, what we want is to sit at your right hand. We want the best place. We want to look really good, cool. I want to look really cool. I want to be seen as the one who's really got everything. Jesus says, you're just misunderstanding. That's the wrong way around. the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And the Son of Man didn't even come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. We have an opportunity to serve this year so that many will be saved. I am believing for abundant harvest this year. I'm believing for many people to be saved and come to the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Joshua, and we're going to pray in a minute, but just let's look at this exciting book of territory taking people. May it define us. May the word of the Lord define us. As it did in Joshua's day, the word defined who they were and what they did. May it be the same for you and for me. So they've come into the land. Joshua, he's had an encounter with the Lord. And then the Lord begins to speak to him. And just as the Lord has spoken to us, he wants to say things that sometimes are counter what you're actually seeing in the natural. He wants to cut across the natural and say, look, if you believe this, this is what you're going to see. And so in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, there's a description of a town or a city. And it says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. You could say it was the city of the closed door. Have you witnessed to somebody and there seems to be a closed door? Have you tried to do things for God and then you seem to hit a brick wall? Well, Joshua and the people were in the land, and all they could see was that Jericho was totally closed up and shut down. And there was nothing that they could do in the natural to penetrate, to go in and defeat the enemy and rescue, actually Rahab, we rescue people. There were people that were rescued for the Lord. And so with this tightly shut up, nobody was coming in or going out. It was totally closed shop. Now, this is what God wants you to apply in your life currently. If there is a closed situation you're facing, God wants you to see it differently. If it's shut down, locked down, nothing happening, God wants you to see differently about it. Okay? So what does he say? Now, I think a lot of Christians would like to describe to the Lord how bad things are looking. How they can never get an opportunity to do this, or they can't do that, or there seems to be something, I'm hitting a wall. And God does not ask Joshua to describe the town and the walls and the fortification. The difficulties. Now, so many of us spend our time in prayer declaring the problems. We go on and on about how bad things are. But God does not allow Joshua to even comment on Jericho, because he wants Joshua to see Jericho as he sees it. In the natural, it might look like this. In the natural, it looks like today, the majority of this city and region are without Christ. They're held captive by the devil. They belong to Satan. They're in his house. That's what it looks like. But God's saying, see, I have given you the city. I want you to see in the unseen realm. Because the unseen realm is far more powerful than the material seen. What you see from what I am showing you is more powerful and is able to change the material world. The invisible changes the visible. What you can't see happening with your natural eye, you can see with the eyes of your heart. And he said, see, I am giving you the city. Now, I like, you know, the way God speaks sometimes. It's a little bit shocking. Because, you know, Joshua might have gone to all the guys and said, God's given us the city. And you might have had people there say, well, who do you think you are? You're a bit proud, aren't you, saying God's given you this city? You're a little bit elevated. But God is able to give what he wants to give to whoever he chooses. And he's looking for a people of faith to receive big things so that he can do big things. He wants us to receive cities. He wants us to receive our villages, our communities. If you live in a village, God's saying to you, see, I've given it to you. Wherever you live, God's wanting you to say, I can see you've given it to us. It belongs to us. See, the devil is an unrightful owner. He shouldn't own these people. Jesus is the rightful owner of the world. Everything is the Lord's. But he's a thief and has stolen it. And do you know what we're here for? To get it back. We're here to get back what he's stolen. These people were created by the Lord and for him. Your family was created by the Lord and for him. And so he's saying, see, I've given you the city. I've given you your community. I've given you the people you're working with in Care for Seniors, Habitat, Fly. Those kids you haven't yet seen, they're already yours. Then he goes on to say, and its kings, along with its king and fighting men. Oh, now, you've got to be careful. Just make sure you don't jump off your seat. Because Jesus isn't just saying, I'm giving you this territory. I'm giving you this region. He is saying, and I'm giving you the devil. So in other words, I'm giving you authority over every demon that is holding my stuff captive. In Christ, you have authority over all the power of the enemy. In him, you've got authority over every principality and demon that is trying to hold stuff that belongs to the Lord and to his people. Come on. He's an unrighteous owner. He's a thief and he's a destroyer. And we are here to destroy him, to take him out and liberate captives. And so Joshua is just given these simple words. And I'm talking about opportunity. He's standing on the edge of an opportunity. And the Lord says, "This, I want you to believe it's yours." Yeah. Okay, great, childlike, bucket and spade. We're going to be camping down there soon and enjoying the plunder. Yeah. He's already wondering how he's going to spend it. What he's going to do with what he gets. Because he believes it. Yeah. Yeah. See, if you believe it, you'll start to plan for it. It'll change how you view possibilities. And then God says, it's all right. The fortified, the best warriors that might look in there, the bigger the enemy looks, don't worry. They're already under your feet. Because I've defeated them for you. And I've given you authority to bind and to loose, to drive out demons and to set captives free. I don't know if you think this is good news, but there's no point in having an opportunity unless you see what it is and how big it is. Guys, it's a big opportunity. for people who don't look like they can. But if God says we can, we can. Amen. This place is going to be full of new believers. Where you work, people are going to come to Christ. You're going to disciple them. We're going to see them trained and equipped. Not just filling a seat. True disciples who are doing the same things as Jesus, living a holy life, praying, understanding about how to live as a believer. Praise God. I've given you the enemy, authority over all the power of the enemy. He cannot keep what I've given you. As long as we believe. Then he actually, because at this point I can imagine Joshua is a warrior. You understand? He's a go-getter. And the kingdom needs to be full of go-getters. Yes. Amen. Not passive waiters. Let's go get. Faith people go get. Joshua crossed the Jordan. That's a go-getter. We go and got this. We went and got. This is from a go-getting people. Amen. Where we are today is because we did get it. Understand? So Joshua, he's used to not just sitting back and saying, okay, God, what are you going to do? So Joshua is like, right, the city's ours. Brilliant. Come on, guys, let's go. Let's go. All we have to do is go. And God says, wait. Before you rush in, I'd like to give you the strategy. It's yours. And so is the enemy in there. But I want to give you the strategy. And you remember they had to march around the walls and shout at the end. And do you know what happened? Whatever was shut opened. And they were able to go in and plunder the enemy's camp. Jesus spoke about this being the strong man. That you can't enter a strong man's house without first binding the strong man. But if you bind him, you can go and rob him of his stuff. He's talking about a spiritual battle. Because a city or people are not won through human effort. They're won through spiritual weapons. And so while we have faith this year for unusual opportunities, what we must understand is that the weapons that we use are spiritual weapons. They're not carnal, they're mighty in God for tearing down strongholds. For defeating the devil. Prayer is one of those, if you're a warrior, a prayer warrior, you will see unusual fruit because you're doing war God's way. And so while we see by faith, we need to fight with spiritual weapons and listen to what God is saying. We are in a battle. If you try and preach the gospel to somebody, you need to understand that they currently belong to the devil. And unless you use your spiritual weapons and take authority and allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to break them free, they can't be saved. We need to be praying and speaking, taking up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then they will be saved. They'll be rescued. And so Joshua had to understand, the people of God had to understand that it was a spiritual battle that they were in. And we need spiritual weapons to fight. And so Joshua wasn't just kind of go in and get it. It was, whoa, 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 do what I say to do and you will see the walls come down, go in and plunder. You will take back the ownership of what rightfully belongs to God. A year of opportunities. But it is also a year, can I have the next slide? Divine opportunities of seeing with the eyes of faith, but we must take up our weapons and fight. It's not just for a kind of, yeah, opportunity, brilliant. God's saying, listen to me. Live as part of my army. Don't neglect your place. Take up your place in the army and pray with the army. Take up the sword of the Spirit. When we're together, fighting together, let's be together. And let's fight together. Because a city is taken by an army, not a soldier. We're all soldiers, but we need the army to rise up and take up our weapons and fight. And you know it's a good fight. Do you know why it's called a good fight? Because we win. I tell you, when it's a bad fight, is when you lose. But fight the good fight of faith, because Jesus, the commander of the army, the Lord, has won the battle for us. And we are here to take up our spiritual weapons and defeat the enemy, drive him out of the land, set captives free, heal the sick, and see the goodness of God come into many people's lives this year. An opportunity, an open door. But let's do this together. And you need to understand leadership in this season. You need to understand that God has ordained leaders to lead you in a spiritual fight. Joshua heard God for the people. Now, it doesn't mean you can't hear God yourself. I'm trusting you're hearing God through his word today. Everybody can hear his voice and follow. But when it comes to his body, he has put certain gifts in place to be able to lead you effectively. And so, if I could say this absolutely honestly, a Sunday Christian isn't going to see the same victories as somebody who comes devoted to what God is doing corporately as well as in your personal life. I need to tell you, there's not going to happen through a people who just visit, but it's going to happen through people who join and be a part of what God is doing to see the city won for Christ. We have an opportunity. We need every single one of you. That's why you are here. You're not here just for you. You're here for the Lord and for his work. And so let's rise. Let's rise for the welfare of the people we're here for. Let's rise and do what God says for us to do. Let's take up our weapons and let's accept the leadership of what God is saying. You know, we have, I say this with all humility. I fear the Lord in getting this message wrong. I haven't picked this out of somebody's website. We have sought the Lord and prayed hours and hours. And it sounds so simple. But it's what the Lord is saying. And if we will rise together, we're going to see what Joshua saw. Otherwise, we just sort of just sit and look at the problems. We're here to defeat and to conquer and to take ground for Jesus. To be spiritually minded and to be trained in war. God wants to train you for war. To not say, oh, look what's happening, but to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, stop. To be conquering and taking ground off the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we stand?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.